You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Jersey Boys Podcast here on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network, powered by SB Nation. Your host, Dave Sturcio, and America's fan, Keith Ernst. Brett Ernst on assignment. He is doing all the research and the journalism stuff and just trying to dig deep into the world of Cowboys media, and or he's on tour. I don't know. What's going on, man?
No much, dude, man. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day. Look at us, the dedicated ones. Here I am thinking, like, we got to make adjustments to the schedule, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. We always kind of cater to each other's schedule. And I'm like, all right, it's Father's Day. Let's kind of do it a little later into the day. And here we are, the two dads of this podcast that are on this thing, and the non-dad is not on.
Yeah, exactly.
So I find that pretty ironic.
Yeah, but I coached my daughter's flag football team.
Oh yeah,
we had the NFL Play 60.
Yes.
Out here, and she was like, "You can." She's like, "Dad, I want to play, but I'm only going to play if you're the head coach." And I'm like, "Okay." So I reached out to him. I'm like, "Hey, my daughter wants to play," and I'm like, "But she'll only do it if I'm the head coach, and I'll only do it if we're the Cowboys."
There's right? So many caveats.
And I was like, "I know, right?" I was like, "This guy's going to tell me to F off." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no, he's like, "Hey, that's great. No, there's a team. Your daughter can be on it and you can be the Cowboys." I'm like, "Oh, this is awesome." So we had our first game today and we lost 30-0.
Jesus.
Wait, my daughter caught a bomb though.
I was going to say, what position is your daughter playing?
She's playing receiver, running back, but it's not that, dude. I mean, look, and here's my thing. Unlike the other team, is I have about 10 kids on the team and they're like 10, 11 years old and I'm playing everyone. You know, so I mean, if I just played the best players, we wouldn't have lost 30-0.
No, you know what I'm saying? You're doing the whole, like, give everybody
just
a chance.
Intent, bro. You know what I mean? These kids want to have fun. They're, you know, if you're not that good that in high school, you're not going to play, that's not going to happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? In high school, they'll play the best players. But here, and even if, you know, I want these kids to learn, even if they're not the best player right now, they have potential.
More importantly, who did you lose?
I want them to have fun. We lost to the Seahawks.
The Seahawks.
I know.
Well, that's gross.
I know.
So, well, listen, coach. You know, get your act together. Get the better players on the field.
I'm just tired of the Cowboys losing, bro.
Yeah, I can't even win a game for us. We're relying on you to turn this all around, and you just can't do it. Before we get into what I wanted to get into, or what we were, you know, told to touch on today, I will say that the game you keep bringing up, the 44-0 game that we lost in 1985. Mm-hmm. Ready for this? You know how my mom's water broke in 85 for the opening night?
Yeah.
It was my christening that day. So my dad literally set up a black and white TV in a VFW, and because he didn't want to miss the game. And, well, he said he wished he would have missed the game because of the result. But another Cowboys game in my first year of existence that has, like, such a big historic impact.
Wow, that's fantastic. I mean, it's not fantastic.
not at all.
I know. I mean, your dad was going through the same pain we were, except he was a grown man. We were kids.
Yeah, I think it was when I was born. He said he kind of like toned it down a little bit. But my mom tends to, you know, they've been divorced since I was, I don't know, right around the Cowboys last Super Bowl. She would always tell me, like, "Oh, your father, you know, kicked out of bars left and right in the 70s. And I'm like, there was one story, and I don't know if I told you guys this. Super Bowl against the Steelers. This is from my mother now, so I don't know if this is any...
In the 70s. First, second one, you don't know which one it was?
Don't know which one it was. However, he went to a bar to watch the Super Bowl, and he brought a little tiny... Actually, I'll show it to you. Just like something like this. Like a tiny Dallas Cowboy replica helmet to put on the bar to kind of like, you know, plant your flag in the ground. You know what I mean? Like, this is who I root for. And apparently a bigger Steelers fan, you know, during the course of the game, smashed it. Like, literally just like one shot.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Just a total jerk off. Right.
Absolutely.
So instead of my dad retaliating by smashing him, which I'm pretty sure he could have, he went out, came back with a actual life-size replica. He goes, smash this one.
So, that's awesome.
That's my mother's story. I don't know if there's any truth to it. My mom's out there, so it's like, whatever.
And the guy still smashed it. He was like, good. Right. He's like, freaking huge. Exactly. This guy.
Exactly. So as far as our current Cowboys are concerned, you know, again, there's a lot of stuff about to go down. You know, you have training camp about to happen, a lot of position battles. I was actually talking to a couple of the guys. I don't know if you caught that. I know you're in that Slack thread that you can see that a couple of guys go back and forth on the blog and the boys, the podcasting network, along with the writers over there. I'm trying to plan a trip to go out to Oxnard. You know, I've never done it. It's on my bucket list. I was almost going to do it 2 years ago, and I didn't. But now it's just about dates. Like, do I want to go when it's originally I was like, I want to go for that like opening ceremony and like the first practice and this, that, and the third. You know what I mean? So I wanted to do that. But then like I think it was Tom Ryle on the Blogging the Boys podcast. The podcast network. He says he'd rather go like another week later because then you kind of get the feel like they're in the flow of things. There's no like feeling out process. So have you ever gone out to any of these training camps?
Yes, because I'm out here, so I do. Yeah, I went to the Thousand Oaks one. I don't honestly, man. The times I went, they were, you know, it's so crowded and they're practicing. It's like I know it's cool. I guess if I was a kid,
right,
I would be like, oh my god, this is awesome. But you know,
so if you're
these
little
guys, at the time I was going,
you get excited about it.
At the time I was going, you know, they were my age, and now they're younger than me, so it's just a little. But I can see, you know, and you got these adults like towering over them. These little kids are trying to look. It's like, dude, get out of the way.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like you're a grown man. You're screaming for Ezekiel Elliott's, you know, autograph. It's like, let this little kid come through. I'm you. What's wrong with you? Anyways. But yeah, I'm not honestly, bro. I know you mentioned to me, I'll go out there with you, but I really don't. It's not really my thing, man.
Okay. All right. Well,
you know, listen, I thought about it. It's like, you know, I mean, it's nice, but it's just like, it's real crowded and you know, it's practice, man.
It's practice. And then Brett had mentioned that he might have his hands on tickets to opening night. Well, not opening night, but like home opener night against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I am so on board to get out there. I know you're not.
But I'm not, because I don't go to games with my brother anymore. He tells me to shut up and sit down, and I'm a screamer. I like to have fun. Oh, wait a minute.
So he's not going to be able to tolerate me then?
Dude, I'm telling you, wait. That's why you think I'm. Why do you think I'm not going? Because here's the deal. He gets these box seats from this guy. There's a sandwich place called Fat Sal's, right? And I guess Jerry Ferrara from Entourage and Sal. You know, they open this restaurant, whatever. So that's how Brett knows him. So we go to this game, and I just get up. I'm loud. I'm not a jerk. I'm just loud. And Brett's like, sit down. You go sit down. You gotta respect the spot here. We're in another person's seats. We don't want to act out. I'm like, dude, we're at a football game. What do you mean? And then everyone else around us is going, like, I remember there was one dude in our section that was walking around hitting on all the girls. It's like loud, obnoxiously. I'm like, what about this guy over here? You think he's gonna remark about me standing up on fourth and goal and, you know, right, going crazy. Right.
This game was where was
have it? Fun, starts. Have fun. It was opening game against the Giants in AT&T Stadium. This was the 3-0 year when we started 3-0. Remember we played? Okay. Yeah. We beat the Giants. We beat three bad teams. Remember we beat the Dolphins. So it was two seasons ago.
Oh, wow. You were there for that one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Opening week. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was a, you know, everybody was booking their tickets to Miami. They were going to Super Bowl.
I thought so.
Straight dominating people. Those are my favorite games to go to as far as the, you know, Cowboys, Giants, either whether in Dallas or obviously where I'm in Jersey. So I go every year. And now that everything's kind of past us now and full capacity and this, that, and a third, you know, looks like I'm going to be going back to New York too to watch the Cowboys beat up on the Giants. So
I'll be at the Charger game second week here.
Oh, that's right. Wait, second week. Hold on. Are we on the road twice?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it is. So it's the third week of September. Okay. Yeah.
I'll be at Los Angeles for the Charger game. I already booked a hotel across the street.
Wow. You know what?
I'm going all in.
Yeah.
I go to games every year. So yeah. It's like, I'm just like you.
I haven't been, I guess it was when I went out with my dad and my brother. That was the last Dallas game. That was a home opener. Tavon Austin catches that bomb from Dak, and the place was shaking. And then, like I said, every year I go to the Meadowlands or MetLife or whatever the hell you're calling it now. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so anyway, training camp is about to start, and we're excited about it, obviously, because this is a very dead time in football. You know, you really know it's dead when, like, I watch, you know, I'm looking on, like, I don't know, Pro Football Talk or whatever, and, like, one of the top stories is that Aaron Rodgers renewed his golf membership at a country club in Green Bay. Like, who gives a crap? Are you kidding me right now? Like,
yeah, that's what we're talking about.
But there is something that RJ, who is our producer here on Jersey Boys podcast, and he came up with something pretty good. And I kind of, like, right away, I was like, I have mine, because I've been shouting it from the mountaintops for a couple years now, especially going into this year. But it's a controversial topic in the current Dallas Cowboys right now. What is something that you believe in that basically is being debated heavily throughout either Cowboy Nation or just the sports world just doesn't buy your take? You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I had one. I'll let you start. I mean, hopefully we don't have the same one. We know we didn't discuss this, but I'm assuming we don't have the same one. But what is a controversial Dallas Cowboy topic that you feel is you know, you're strongly about in your heart of hearts that people just tend to disagree with you?
Okay. You know what it is? And, I gave this some thought, and it's like, I'm going to say Jerry Jones. And when I say that is
my father told me this one. Go ahead.
But I'm just like, the controversy behind him is he doesn't like coaches coach. It's Jerry's team. That's what everybody always says. That's why they think we're failing. Mm-hmm. I tend to disagree with that though. Okay. Because they're like, Jerry will never give up the team. Okay. Our two best teams that were built, in my opinion, I mean, this is post Landry, was obviously Jimmy Johnson's team, where Jimmy Johnson was running the team. Obviously, it's completely clear now that he was. And then Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells built that 2007 Tony Romo Dallas Cowboy team that went 13-3. That was not Wade Phillips' team.
Correct.
That was Bill Parcells. It's almost like Barry Switzer took Jimmy Johnson's team. It's the same thing with Wade Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Parcells to this day wishes he coached that next year. He's because it was that after the Seattle drop where Romo dropped the snap that he's like, I just can't do this anymore.
Well, but yeah, I actually that documentary on DallasCowboys.com is phenomenal. I think it's called Parcells' Last Ride or something like that. Have you watched that one?
Yeah,
it's great.
And he talks about that.
He talks about it at the end, saying like, he just didn't think he can do all the steps that you have to do in an offseason to get prepared for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
That year, obviously, he built that team from scratch, man. That team was a bad team that he inherited, and he really kicked it up. I felt like Jones had no hand in it at all.
That's my point, is that he will. Jerry Jones, to win a Super Bowl, people, I know what you're trying to say, that he needs, but he will give up everything for that. Even a coach, a head coach, say a Jim Harbaugh or Bill Cowher, or somebody to come in and say, look, you want me to do this? Step out of my way. If that person can win him a Super Bowl, he will do it.
Do you think he did that with Mike McCarthy?
No. I think Mike McCarthy's more of a, hey, you know, whatever you want type guy. That's what I get from him. I don't know him, but that's what I get from him. And I'll tell you another thing about Mike McCarthy is I still don't believe in him. I don't. Okay. I don't. I think that like I said, the one Super Bowl he won with Green Bay, they shouldn't even have been in the playoffs that year.
Correct.
With Deshaun Jackson, the miracle in the Meadowlands part two, when they came back from 31-10 and won. If the Giants won that game and just punted it out, Packers don't go to the playoffs that year and they don't go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Matt Dodge might still be on suicide watch.
Yeah, exactly. But you think about this, right? Aaron Rodgers kind of mirrors Tony Romo to me with that. Because now it's coming out where Aaron Rodgers is carrying that team like Romo did.
Correct.
You know, he is. You know, so anyways,
don't worry about your dog either. Listen, I tell you what, RJ Ochoa has a puppy that's always making an appearance every time he's recording his podcast. But you're absolutely right. I think Jerry Jones, at this point of his life, you know, it seems like he would. I kind of think that's the Mike McCarthy hire. I want to say that because I want to say that, like, he let McCarthy come in. He let McCarthy kind of pick his staff, and it totally fell flat on its face. You know, he got his boy, Mike Nolan, you know what I mean? Like, a friend of his, basically. we're not in the business to do friends. And now this time around, whether, you know, there's a coaching tree or not, you know, I feel like Dan Quinn was more like he'll get the job done more so than Dan Quinn would. I mean, Mike Nolan would. They let him draft his entire team. They let him make the free agent signings, guys under the radar signings. You know, Jerry Jones is usually a very prideful guy. So when he took a shot on like a Jarrell McCoy last year and a Dontari Poe and these guys that were supposed and traded for Everson Griffin, they were supposed to pan out. And those were the flashy, sexy names that are in the media, right? That was, I felt like that was Jerry, you know, puffing out his chest again. But you know, right, now it's like, you know, hey, listen, by the way, it didn't work. You know, it did not work. It was literally, statistically, one of the worst defenses we've ever seen. You know what I mean? So I think that what Jerry has done now is what you said. I think that he might have stepped back a little bit. I think that this year, you look at that roster up and down. I mean, the stars have made themselves. You know, Dak Prescott wasn't a star. The only star that you have on that team is technically Ezekiel Elliott and DeMarcus Lawrence, but we drafted Lawrence. You know what I mean? And we drafted Zeke. So there is no free agents, no big splashes in free agency that we have to say, like, Jerry went out of his way to get this. And that's, I know there's a lot of Cowboy fans out there probably listening to the sound of my voice and saying, like, we're never active in free agency. We're never active in free. Well, this is why. We draft rather well. You know what I mean? Like, I think that,
we do.
That's a collective decision, you know?
No, I agree.
So.
No, for sure, man.
I'm on board with that being a controversial thing that he wouldn't take a step back because I think he would. But there's a lot of people. My dad actually said when I brought up the topic today on Father's Day, hanging out with him poolside, he goes, you know what? My controversial topic would say that, you know, the Cowboys will never win another Super Bowl as long as Jerry Jones is alive. You know, and I was like, well, I mean, it's debated. You know what I mean? People do believe that. People think that he's so knee deep in his team that he'll never get out of his own way. And then we'll just be completely screwed, you know, forever.
No, for sure. Yeah.
But in the same sense, again, I think this team this year seems a little bit more put together from the ground up, you know, not so much, you know, grabbing those splashy free agents.
No, for sure. And when we'll see with the, I mean, once again, the play calls and the a lot of things that happened last year under Mike McCarthy's watch cannot happen again. Because when games are down to the wire, that's when you need a coach. Absolutely. I mean, that's honestly when that is when you can tell if you have a good coach is crunch time. You know what I mean? Like, how are you going to handle the last 3 minutes of a game? Either you know you need to win, or and you're close. You know, the score is close or the opposite. You need to maintain the score.
Right.
You know, those type of decisions, which, you know, like I'll keep bringing up the challenge that he didn't in the Giants game last season.
That one's going to stick for a little while.
And for him not to come out and say it was a mistake really bothers me.
It does. I'd rather have accountability. I'd rather have guys come up and say, look, I made the wrong move. I should have did this. I should have did that. It's funny. You know, the co-owner here at Chop Sports, we talk about all the time because he's a massive Packers fan and he dealt with McCarthy forever. And he told me he's like one of the biggest bugaboos that he thinks about Mike McCarthy is A, his time management, and B, his decision making when it comes to, you know, well, we have these two timeouts. Let's not use them here. You know what I mean? But let's use them down the road. Just not correctly calling his timeouts and time management. That's a big deal in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, controlling that clock is everything.
No, for sure, man.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
But what you got, bro? What's your yours?
Well, here's mine. And again, this isn't flashy breaking news. I've been saying this for a long time. There's a lot of people out there that put these top 10 lists together, whether it be Pro Football Focus or NFL.com or, you know, the big name websites, the mainstream sports media. And they don't rank Dak Prescott in the top five as far as quarterbacks are concerned. And I firmly believe that Dak Prescott is a top five quarterback. I don't understand the, you know, if I had to rattle them off, right? Basically, what you have to do is to narrow this down is say, who's better than Dak right now? You know, the only guys I see better than Dak Prescott are Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. I'll give the nod to Tom Brady because of his leadership and his just longevity and success.
And he just won a Super Bowl.
And he just won another Super Bowl. Right. So I'll put him at three. I'll put a guy like a Russell Wilson at four. I think he's like a five-tool player. Mm-hmm. I think he's really good. And I think he's right on par with Dak Prescott. I think Dak Prescott is better than such as, you know, I think it's too early to rank Josh Allen or Justin Herbert above Dak Prescott. I don't care. I think it's too early for that. I think Dak Prescott is a full, more complete quarterback than a Lamar Jackson. I firmly believe he's on the same level of skill. I might give the athleticism to Deshaun Watson, but you just can't give him anything right now because you don't even know if he's going to play this year. Mm-hmm. So I give Dak Prescott the nod that he's number five in the league. And I know there's a lot of people that think that I'm crazy in this regard.
I don't think you're crazy, but I don't agree with you.
Well, all right. I'll give you another one.
Like,
well, all right. So I'll ask you the four that I named, you're in agreement at Rodgers, Brady, Mahomes, Wilson, all better than Dak.
Okay. Yes.
Who else is better than Dak Prescott?
The two that you mentioned, I would say definitely Herbert.
Definitely. Now, you're like confident that Justin Herbert, who's played one season in the NFL, is better than
one season. And I mean, he had a Dan Marino type season, man. I mean, broke Dan Marino's records. I mean, yeah, I can come and say that. I mean, one season in the NFL means a lot. I would never say like Trevor Lawrence or anything like that. You know what I mean? Because they haven't played it down, but yes, I would say, and you know what? I mean, Lamar Jackson, man, and they're two different quarterbacks. I agree. So it's hard to say. You know, I mean, you're looking at an NFL MVP. Didn't he win NFL MVP one year?
He did. But a quarterback, to me, a quarterback has to be complete. Meaning, if you want to be athletic and be that runner, great. But you got to be able to throw the football. And I don't think Lamar Jackson throws a good football at all. I think there's plenty of times, yes, has he dropped a couple in where you're like, whoa, how did he do that? Yeah, I get it, man. I get it. Every NFL quarterback has had a good throw at some point or another. I'm sure Sam Darnold has a couple good throws before, you know, before we like write him off into the sunset.
Yeah.
But I think that Dak Prescott overall as a better quarterback, as constructed as what a prototypical quarterback should be, is better than Lamar Jackson.
I mean, I look at it like this, dude. It's like, I get what you're saying, but you know, he's so hard to game plan for, Lamar Jackson.
I mean, you just have a spy on him and you're good to go.
Look what it did, like we did last year.
I mean, that's us. We had the worst defense in the league.
I know. I'm just saying, though. I meant, you know, he's made the playoffs, what, every year he's been playing.
Yeah, but he hasn't done anything.
He won a playoff game, didn't he?
Pretty sure he hasn't. I don't know. Maybe I could be completely wrong. And
but yeah, I think he has. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, I mean, he's at least leading his team. I mean, Dak has had, let's be honest, man, he's had years where he did not make them. I mean, the 1 year in a terrible division, he did not, in the must-win game against the Eagles. You know, he played terrible that game, man.
You got to look at those things.
You know, it's like
there are games out there that even the best quarterbacks in the league, like an Aaron Rodgers or like a Patrick Mahomes didn't even almost practically didn't show up in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but so, he did the last one, the one before that.
Yeah, agreed. But
all right, the only one I would say, I would put Dak, I'll give you Lamar, okay? I'll put him in front of Lamar, but I won't put, and I'll put him, look, man, Josh Allen.
They're both really good.
When I watch him play, Josh Allen, I've never in my life seen a quarterback that can thread a needle running out of bounds. I mean, that is his thing, man. And I saw it on numerous occasions where it's almost like you think he's going out of bounds and he just throws it 40 yards downfield and it's just it's a beautiful pass. You know, right. It's almost like the Aaron Rodgers one that he had against us in the playoffs.
Right.
Third and whatever it was.
Yeah. And Cook. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like he does that consistently. So mm-hmm. I'm with you. And maybe I got to see Josh Allen one more year. So I'll put Dak in front of him. Okay.
But Josh Allen's been there longer than Justin Herbert. And you're saying that he's not above Justin Herbert.
I don't, man. I think Herbert's a Dan Marino type, man. That's just my honest opinion. I think he's going to be, Mahomes and Herbert in the AFC West is going to be a showdown for years to come, man.
That's going to be, listen, it's going to be must-see football, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But I would the one quarterback I would, and I know you don't agree with this, I would put in front of Dak is Matt Ryan.
Oof. I can't get behind that. I can't. Especially not this year. He's going to have himself a hard time.
Well, let's see what he does.
You took away his literal best mm-hmm. weapon. And look, Matt Ryan is a gamer. I'm not going to take anything away from him. He's been to a Super Bowl. I get it. And it's not his fault they lost that Super Bowl.
Not at all.
So I'm not saying that he's a bad quarterback, but I'm not also, if I were to start a team right now, I'm taking Dak Prescott as my starting quarterback over Matt Ryan. That's how I also compare a lot of these quarterbacks. Like, what would you do if you had a chance to put, like, build a team around somebody?
But all right, because Dak is younger. Like, if you gave me Matt Ryan,
yeah, definitely my caveat. If you gave me
Matt Ryan at 28, I'd take Matt Ryan at 28 years old.
I think he's 30. He's up there. He's up there.
Yeah, he's up there. He's got a couple seasons left.
Right.
Look, man, I need to see more. And I love Dak. And, you know, we're so lucky to go from, you know, Tony Romo to Dak Prescott, but I need to see just a little more, man. I have to.
I think that last year, even when we were getting our ass kicked defensively, you know, I'm mm-hmm. talking the Atlanta game, the Browns game, you know, like those games where our defense was just getting shredded. Dak Prescott was on pace to just unbelievable things, mm-hmm. you know, and then he obviously breaks his ankle against New York and the world just kind of collapsed around us as a team and as an organization and as a fan base. But you got a guy that man, I know we're Cowboys fans here. And I just think that the kid works harder than anybody else. I really do.
Sure.
And I think that he worked harder and harder just to get back, and he's going to be back for training camp. And he's going to be one of these kids that won't be denied. And I think the fight in this kid is unprecedented. I think he's just, again, he's a gamer. And I haven't seen enough out of a Justin Herbert yet. Yes, have I seen some flashes of greatness? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And same thing with Josh Allen. As you said, the kid is lacing balls in places where you just didn't expect him to fit it in. You know
not
what I mean?
At all. Yeah.
And but Dak Prescott, when given the right talent around him, the offensive line is back. Like, I'm very, very optimistic and very, very confident that this guy not only win by a landslide comeback player of the year, but like a potential most valuable player type season. You know,
you have
one of the greatest trios in the NFL right now. You know what I mean? I think that Michael Gallup isn't talked about enough. I think CeeDee Lamb has been touted and mm-hmm. he should be. You know, that's who we took 2 years ago in the first round. And of course, Amari Cooper, when he gets back to health, 100% health, one of the better route runners in the league.
I would say that, and this is, you know, what's another controversial topic among Cowboy fans? Believe it or not, and I probably have this argument more with Cowboy fans than anything else, is them thinking that Tony Romo was not a good quarterback.
And is it because of success?
Yeah, because he's never won a Super Bowl, pretty much. And they always talk about the stupid snap he dropped, which he shouldn't even have been in there for the field goal. You know, that's all they have. If you talk to them, like, oh, he choked. I'm like, well, when else did he choke? They can't even answer that because there wasn't any time.
Well, I think that the throw in 2007.
I don't think that was bad at all. I mean, what else was he supposed to do?
Picks him off in the end zone.
What was he supposed to do, though? I mean, it was almost desperation time at that time when that happened. If you look at it, it wasn't. You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
We needed a touchdown. We couldn't win by a field goal.
Yeah,
you know.
I just posted on my social media the play where he shakes J.J. Watt. I mean, it's one of the greatest scrambles I've ever seen.
But my thing with Romo, the reason I'm bringing up that with Prescott is, look, and honestly, there's no other way to go with this. There's no black or white, nothing. This is the way it is, and I know nobody wants to hear this, but I'm going to tell him. All right. Mm-hmm. If you think Tony Romo was not a great quarterback, you did not watch every play of every game of the Dallas Cowboys during his tenure. You did not. All you did, you half-assed watched games and you listened to those stupid pundits on ESPN that bashed him all the time because he's a Dallas Cowboy quarterback.
Right.
And NFL Network, they did the same thing. You did not. You watched highlights. You listened to them talking. You did not watch every play of every game, because any Dallas Cowboy fan who watched every play of every game will tell you that Tony Romo was a great quarterback and absolutely could have won a Super Bowl, okay, if a couple things went his way. Now, that being said, I watch every play of Dak Prescott, okay? Mm-hmm. And right now, I would say in Tony Romo's third year, fourth year, I was saying the same thing about him. I need to see a little more. So I could have I hope he wins a Super Bowl, Dak, but just because he doesn't win one doesn't mean I'm not going to say he's a great quarterback. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
so that's my thing. I'm being a little hard on him. I think he has it, but I have to see it, man.
That's another popular popular take is that the, you know, it's funny. Another controversial topic, as we're just rolling them off now, is that Cowboys fans are completely just think that there's nobody better than us at all times forever. Yeah. If you listen to this podcast, you know for sure there are other sides of the spectrum when it comes to Dallas Cowboy fans. I'm optimistic most of the time, but you guys, you know, you and Brett both, you know, kind of put me in my place most of the time. But I will say this, and I'll say this boldly, and I'll say it to the day I die. Tony Romo was better as a quarterback than Eli Manning. And that's not debatable for me.
I agree.
I don't care. I understand the success that Eli had. I get it. Two Super Bowls. The guy did nothing. All right, you scramble away, and then the guy catches one on his helmet, and all of a sudden, that's one of the greatest plays you've ever seen. That was a bad pass. you know what I mean? He does lace one to Manningham on the sidelines, and he does drop one in the bucket to Plaxico Burress. And I get it. He has success. That Giants team was built different, especially defensively. But pound for pound, quarterback for quarterback, I'd rather have Tony Romo in a 2-minute drill, you know, to get me down the field.
Yeah, and if you look at, I mean, besides the playoff game that we lost, the divisional playoff, which I still wasn't, it wasn't Romo's fault. Our defense completely let us down.
Well, Patrick in that Creighton divisional playoff game,
Patrick Creighton dropping the third and 18. I know. So there's so much. It was not Romo's fault, even though people like to say it was. No, it wasn't.
It's the easy way out.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say, go do your own research, people, because if you look at head-to-head, Tony Romo owned Eli Manning.
Owned him. Pretty much every statistical category as well.
And wins, too. Win and loss. I've done it before because I have Giants fans I argue with. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, dude, Romo owned Eli. You know, I mean, it's like spoiled his Super Bowl, their Super Bowl ring party opening game.
I remember.
You know what I mean?
You have the new Star Ledger that next morning. That was a great thing to read. You know,
Kevin Ogletree, baby, number one on the waivers. Players, and didn't do anything after that.
More Ogletree, please. Oh man, I'll never forget that for the rest of my life. But yeah, look, the Cowboys are always kind of surrounded by controversial topics. And I know that there's a lot of people out there who are not Cowboy fans who always think like, well, you know, you're a Cowboys fan. So you have this one track mind where you just think your team is the best and you're not beatable and this, that, and the third. Look, our topics today kind of express to you, like, yes, I'm a little optimistic when it comes to Dak Prescott. But again, when the Romo debate, you know, that's one of them that true diehards will go to bat for Tony Romo. And a lot of guys, even some Cowboys fans, will say, like, if Romo didn't win a title, then he, you know, there's no success. There's the bar has been set by a guy like a Troy Aikman or Roger Staubach because they won all these Super Bowls. And that's not really fair to any quarterback coming after them.
You know what a good relation to that is the Chargers, because Phillip Rivers is like a Tony Romo and they love him. Like, you can't go to a Charger fan and say Phillip Rivers sucks. They'd be like, whoa, hey, easy, easy, easy. Whereas you can go to a Cowboy fan and say Tony Romo sucks, and they'd be like, whoa, hey, what do you, you know? No, then they'll be like, you know, it'd be the opposite, I should say.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? They'd be like, yeah, you're right. You know, yeah, whatever. But right. I'm just saying though, with Philip Rivers, you know, they'll go to bat, but like you said, a lot of Cowboy fans with Romo, you know what I mean?
It's a bigger split. It's a bigger split than it should be. That's for
sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. And the reason why is how many Super Bowls have the Chargers won?
Right. I don't even know if they won any playoff games.
What you said, you're so right. I mean, we set the bar. It's like, okay, we got 5 Super Bowls. You know, we were the first. No, the final 49ers were the first team to 5, right? To win 5. Yeah.
Yeah, they won in 94 and then
we won. And then we won our 5th of the year. So yeah, I meant, you know, but I'm just saying though, it's like, okay, you don't win a Super Bowl, you suck in Dallas Cowboy land.
Which is atrocious. You know what I mean?
It is.
Some of the greatest players of all time never won a Super Bowl. We've gotten, you know, me and you and everybody have gotten that debate, like Dan Marino, for the love of God. You know what I mean? Like one of the better PR passers ever.
Yeah. Jim Kelly. I mean, the list goes on and on, man. If Jim Kelly was on the Dallas Cowboys and not Troy Aikman, he would have won those Super Bowls.
I'm pretty sure. I'm confident.
Absolutely, he would have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aikman's awesome. I mean, he's the best, but I mean, the dude was surrounded by, you need that sometimes. You know what I mean?
And
Romo never had.
Romo never had it. I guess the best and closest thing he had was when, you know, when he had Terrell Owens as his number one and Jason Witten was his go-to guy.
Yeah.
And those teams, that 2007 team, you know, 13-3, they were cruising, man. That team was built. Yeah. And so was 2014 when he had Dez, DeMarco Murray was going nuts. He definitely had tools around him, but Aikman was surrounded by literal Hall of Famers. You know what I mean? So,
and the thing is, though, the defense. Aikman, they had a great freaking defense, man. And that's what we're missing. And Romo never had that. Never. He never had that. I don't even know if he ever had a top 5 defense in the NFL while he played.
That I would have to look up.
Yeah.
But I want to say 2014 had a pretty gosh darn good
defense. They were decent.
I'm not sure about the ranking statistically, but I think that was a really good team. But
yeah.
In any event, look, more controversy is going to surround this team. It is the Dallas Cowboys. We are always, always, always in the news. What's up? It looks like you got something.
What do you think, if you could look into the future, what would be the controversy in the future? If you had to guess some kind of controversy, what would it be? And I'm going to give you the scenario, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're 7-9 and missed the playoffs. Or, sorry, 8-10 and missed the playoffs.
That's 18 games.
No, sorry. 7-10. Yeah, we're 7-10. 7-10 and missed the playoffs.
What would it be this year?
Yeah.
I mean,
would it be Dak?
All signs would point to the defense didn't turn around at all.
Okay.
So it's bye-bye Jalen Smith and it's bye-bye Van Der Esch.
Mm-hmm.
The overhaul begins.
You think McCarthy's gone?
I think McCarthy, with this team constructed, barring any injuries, no injuries, like let's just tap pound for pound talent.
Mm-hmm.
I think the experiment is comes.
That's what I think happens.
Yeah.
It's going to be that. To me, that's the controversy. It's like, are they going to fire McCarthy or not?
I remember we looked it up a couple weeks ago that his odds were the highest or the best odds to get fired first. So I think this is more expectation versus reality. Mm-hmm. Like his expectations now with Dak Prescott behind center and everybody coming back healthy, you need to win some games, especially playing in a really piss poor NFC East still. I don't think anybody made any big strides in the NFC East. The Giants may have done a couple things. The Redskins, you know, they did all right. They added Fitzpatrick. So let's see what they do. But the Eagles really kind of went sideways, you know what I mean? Lateral movements. I think this is the Cowboys' division to win, and if they don't, then that's a big.
Well, here's my thing too. It's like, why haven't they signed another quarterback?
I don't know.
I don't get that. Now, who is that on? Would that be on Jerry or would it be on McCarthy?
The signing is a general manager thing. Dak goes down second week.
All right, let's just say that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to get Gilbert Godfrey in there. You know, we're going to get Danucci. But I meant, are you just going to start scrambling around like we did when Romo went down and just, you know, Matt Castle, you know.
Brandon, at this point, with training camp coming around next month, like, I don't know. Like, I would have to look, but like, I don't know if there's any like veterans out there.
But they have to.
I'm not sure if there's anybody left.
When are they going to learn the lesson, man?
I mean, and look, they kind
especially during Jerry's tenure, when is he going to learn that you need a good backup to win some games. You need it.
Well, they had, listen, I'll die on this hill. They had a good quarterback last year. Andy Dalton could have played a lot better.
Absolutely.
He just didn't have an offensive line. He didn't have a defense to help him at all. And when he did flash his goodness, I guess you could say, when he did flash that was your Minnesota game. That was your San Francisco game. That was, you know, the second Washington game. You know what I mean? Like, he definitely played good enough to make the playoffs. It was just that we had so much piss poor play on the defensive side of the ball. No, you know, the guy,
I will say though, the last game against the Giants, the first half, he was terrible.
Yeah, he looked, remember that? He looked out of sorts. I know.
But then the second half, he stepped it up. And he,
you know, I mean, the guy got his hand stepped on. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's just a mess of a game.
But I will say that, I mean, that's something they're BSing on, bro. And they shouldn't. They really should not be doing that.
I mean,
especially
look,
especially if
we happened last year.
Look, there might be something where Dak needs to take a rest for a couple weeks. You know, who knows? You know what I mean? Maybe, you know, something gets tweaked. I mean, you can't just, all right, let's just figure it out. Let's throw DiNucci in there and just, you know, make up game plans like we're in the schoolyard like we did against the Eagles. Like, no.
The only thing I could say is, or the only thing I could think is that they're confident in Gilbert and they think that this kid's good. You know, and maybe, listen, he almost beat the Steelers. You know what I mean? So it's not like, look, very, very small sample size. But again, maybe they just see something in this kid where they're like, God forbid something goes down and Dak goes down again, that Gilbert could be a guy. I don't know.
Well, who would you take right now for a backup that's available?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, who the hell is available at this point? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, this is,
I mean, it's, is there it's a trade we could do?
Who?
Some kind of trade to get someone?
I mean, the only thing I can think about is one of these guys that, you know, one of the guys that maybe, you know who I want? I'll tell you exactly who I want. And this is going to sound kind of ridiculous, but there's a guy out there that I know can play ball. We've seen him play ball, and now he was replaced for the future, and that's Gardner Minshew.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd
Why
be a good
not
backup.
Gardner Minshew to the Cowboys?
That's fantastic, dude. You know, see that someone like that. No,
Trevor
that's a
Lawrence
good one.
Is obviously the guy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And they got Tim Tebow, and they're playing tight end. But Lord knows if they need Jesus Christ to come back and play quarterback.
Dude, that would be awesome. So that's what I would be working on right now. If I were the Cowboys, I'd be like, look, that's something I would look at. Because you're right. He could come in. And he's the type of guy that looks like if he comes off the bench, he's going to do well. I like that one. What about T-Mobile, man?
T-Mobile.
Tyrod Taylor.
That's another one available? I like. Last I checked, he was with the Chargers, if I'm not mistaken. And this is when Justin Herbert took over. I don't know his status, but another one. He's good, too. He's good, too. It's all good. He's good, too. And then there's, again, these guys are all replaced. You know, so when Justin Fields, you know, that's Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's in Chicago. But, look.
T-Mobile's on the Texans.
Texans. Okay. And he might actually start. You know what I mean? So Lord knows what that situation's like, because who knows? I don't know if Deshaun Watson is even going to be playing this year. And God help me. So help me God. If Roger Goodell doesn't give Deshaun Watson six games out of principle, there's going to be an uproar from Cowboys Nation, because you gave Zeke six games and you had nothing on him.
Nothing.
Zero. Yeah. Zero. So that is a controversial topic that Roger Goodell decided to hand out a six-game suspension against Ezekiel Elliott for allegations, no charges, no nothing, no evidence, no nada. And then all of a sudden you got 54 cases coming out from Deshaun Watson, and he's just kind of sitting around, doesn't know what his future is. But I'll tell you right now, like I said, six games minimum, Roger. Do the right thing. But
like I said on a previous podcast, I think Deshaun Watson might demand a trade to Thailand.
He might be better off. So with that being said, we'll take that one on the road for Dave Sturcio and, of course, America's fan Keith Ernst, and, of course, Brett Ernst on the road right now. We will see you guys next week. This has been another episode of the Jersey Boys Podcast, here exclusively on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network, powered by SB Nation.
more to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.